guys in the front row saw that. I think my crutches were slain in the spirit. They decided to just fall. It's all right. The rest of us are still standing, so we're going to sing, all right? Holy, holy, holy.
Early in the morning.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned.
What the enemy needs for evil.
may be seated.
Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis 50, verse 19, 20, and 21 in the story of Joseph, right at the end. Joseph said to them, his brothers, when they were concerned about what's going to happen to them now that their dad died because of what they had done to Joseph, they went. In verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, before Joseph's face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Let's pray. Father God, you are amazing. The message that you laid on my heart this morning is the message that you laid on Travis's heart as he chose songs. That's you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the way you orchestrate the little details of our lives. And thank you, Jesus, that you are sovereign. We commit this morning to you and pray, God, that you would work in our hearts and that you would speak into our hearts, Lord, where we are in life, each as individuals right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so blessed this morning just listening to the worship songs and blessed be your name and the land that is plentiful. You deserve the greater glory, good and gracious King. That's God our Father. You're teaching us to trust this last song, perfect in power. My God forever, bowing before him. I would like for you all to turn to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 14, we are going to read. I don't know what you think of when you think of Ecclesiastes. If you start reading in there, you can be like, wow, this guy needs to figure something out in life. But as you continue to read, you see where the anchor is, where the foundation is. We're going to read the first 14 verses, and we're going to then look into the story of Joseph here this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the title of the sermon today is Seasons of Change. Starting with verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to gain and a time to lose. Time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. The life of Joseph. So you can go ahead and turn to Genesis 37, and that's where we're going to camp out in the next 13 chapters. We're going to do an overview of the life of Joseph, and we're going to remember this story. We're going to tell this story. But before we get into this story of the Old Testament, let's just kind of draw the landscape here a little bit. So we have the Bible, right? God's word to us. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. The Old Testament stories are pointing to the coming Messiah, the promise of a Savior. God raises up his children, the children of Israel. Back up. There was creation. There was sin. And then God's people. God raised this nation up. And so the Old Testament is pointing to the New Testament. The New Testament, then we have the story. The story of Jesus is starting back, obviously, in the Old Testament already. But the New Testament is where Jesus completes the final sacrifice for sin. He is our sacrifice. Salvation, eternal life. Old Testament, New Testament, they're running together. So then all these stories in the Old Testament that we have, what's the point, right? So we got this big picture, and now we're going to zone in down here to one of the stories of the, focus in on the, one of the stories of the Old Testament. And I want us to be thinking something as we go through this story of Joseph. How is your story that you're walking in right now, what is the season of change? How is your story tying into God's plan? Now, some of these things we might not have answers for today, right? Where do you find yourself in the story of Joseph? What season of change are you finding yourself in? We go through all kinds of changes in life. I remember a change that I went through. I would have been 19 years old. No, I was 20 years old, January 1st, 1995, about 4 months before I got married. And we were living in Indiana. January 1st, we had loaded our vehicle, our trailers, and we were moving back to Holmes County. And when I left Holmes County, I was like, see you later. I probably will never be back here other than to visit. God had other plans, and there was a change that was happening. And me and my brother's probably even more so than me because I was getting married, and I was looking forward to that, of course, and we left Lagodi, Indiana, and headed towards Indianapolis. I was driving. My brother was riding with me. We drove all the way to Indianapolis and did not say a word. And we had tears in our eyes the whole time because we were like, why are we doing this? We didn't want to do it. But there was change, and God had brought that change into our lives. It was happening. What season of change are you finding right now to be in? Something I want us to remember also, or we will see this as we go through Joseph's story, but the unchanging one in Joseph's story is who? God, right? And he brings it up over and over and over that he brings out God because of God. God meant it, the enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So where do you find yourself in this story of Joseph? What is the Lord speaking to me about the changes I find myself in? Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. And that's why we can go back to him, right? And change is good. Change is good for us. Some changes are painful. If we would have not changed, we would not be in a good situation, right? We want to see our children grow. We want to see them mature. We want to see change in a good way. So there's all levels of changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God, in this story of Joseph, God is mentioned over 20 times in Joseph's story. And I find that fascinating. As a foundation, Joseph knew God. Chapter 37 of Genesis. Joseph's story starts out with dreams. That's how a lot of our lives start out with, right? We have a lot of dreams. There was a story, there was purpose that God had in these dreams. It was prophetic in his dream. We see that Joseph, he had a season of dreaming. He also had a season of, in verse 3, being cherished and favored by his dad. It says, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and also he made him a tunic of many colors. So, a season of favor, a season of dreams. And he shared these dreams. Verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and the tunic of many colors that was on him. And so Joseph had went to take bread to his brothers, and calamity strikes, right? And they take him, they shame him. He has a season of shame. He has a season of pain going on. This lasts a long time. So in Joseph's story here, I just listed 23 different seasons of change. Some of them are long, some of them are short, but they're seasons that I think we can identify. And as we identify with them this morning, remember to ask the question, God, what do you want to show me in the season of change that I'm in today? I find it really interesting. Well, if you look into pain, shame, rejection that he was experiencing, in verse 28, the Midianite traders passed by. This is verse 28 of chapter 37. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Loss and despair, and I also have the word anguish in there. And I find it's really interesting in this account here in chapter 37, it just kind of says this is what happened, right? And if you look in chapter, we'll just skip ahead and then we'll skip back. In chapter 42, verse 21, when things were going wrong for them, when they came back and they came back to Egypt to get grain when the famine was, and Joseph was like trying them out, see where they're at. They said to one another in verse 21 of chapter 42, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother. Listen to this. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." So back to chapter 37, they're selling him off. He's in the pit, and they're selling him off to as a slave. And his brothers, we get a glimpse into the anguish of his soul and his despair. So put yourself in that position. Joseph's shoes, right? I looked it up. He went, when they took him to Egypt, roughly 300-ish miles is what they estimated that they would have traveled after that on foot. 300 miles from my house is in between the two tunnels on Interstate 77, just north of Wytheville, Virginia. 300 miles. That's where they were taking him to. Anguish, a season of anguish, a season of that anguish and loss and despair lasted a long time. The story picks up over in chapter 39, and it says, verse 2 of chapter 39, "The Lord was with Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand." So the master's like, put him in charge. Joseph had a season of prosperity. Again, another season of favor and honor. We have all these seasons that we're dealing with in our life at one time, at any given time. And then temptation hits. Joseph had hit rock bottom, and now he's being honored and favored and put in charge, and the enemy comes, and this is the time we're going to get him. Verse 7, temptation, "And it came to pass that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And in verse 9, Joseph says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" His foundation. What's your foundation? The season that you find yourself in. Are you declaring Christ? Are you declaring God in your life? Verse 17, after he gets tempted, he gets falsely accused. Potiphar's wife says, "Look what he did to me. He raped me." And he gets falsely accused, so a season of false accusation, and then a season of prison. Verse 21 and verse 23 of chapter 39, "But the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord was with him in the prison. It's beautiful. To me, it sounds extremely lonely. So add that in there, a season of loneliness. Sitting in that prison. While he was in prison, he talks about God. When the butler and the baker dream dreams, and said, "What does this mean?" And he interpreted the dream to them. He said, "He says, does not interpretation belong to God?" So he keeps coming back to his foundation. He keeps coming back to God. What am I going to? What are you going to in your season of change? Because when change gets difficult, we want life to feel good. And it's easy to turn to our own selfish righteousnesses, and they're like filthy rags. In chapter 41, I lost my place here, sorry. So in the prison, he gives us a picture of the longing that he had to be, sorry, I can't find it right now, but the longing that he had. When he gave the interpretation to the chief butler and baker, he told the butler, he said, "When you get out of prison, remember me, because I'm in here and I didn't do anything wrong." So this, it reveals a longing. It's a window into his heart of, "Here I sit. Can you please speak for me?" And what does the guy do? He gets out of prison and promptly forgets him. And you're like, how is that? This guy just interpreted a dream for me that showed me that my life is going to be spared. And I get out of prison, yay, and forget the guy that just was there for me. But he did. And in verse 41, chapter 41, verse 9, the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh. This was when Pharaoh had his dream. And the butler is like, all at once the butler remembers, "Hey, this guy, how long was it? Since the time the butler got out of jail?" And all at once he's like, "Oh, Pharaoh had this dream. Pharaoh's trying to figure out what this dream means. Hey, I had a guy that told me my dream." It was 2 years. 2 years later, he forgot about it. Joseph went through a season of being forgotten, a season of neglect, a season of waiting. And he remembers in verse 9 there, and he says, "This man," and Pharaoh says, "Go get him," cleaned him up, brought him out. He interpreted the dream. And we know the story of 7 years of plenty. So he went through a season of plenty. He also was put in charge. He went through a season of preparation, a season of leadership. He went through a season of joy. He was given a wife to marry, and he had two beautiful sons. And he had joy in the middle of the rest of the seasons that he was walking through. And then his brothers come around. And when his brothers had came around and he saw his brother Benjamin, chapter 43, verse 30, it says, "Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there." And we see several times where Joseph breaks down and weeps because of the pain of the past and all that had happened to him. Chapter 45, verse 7, he was faced with a choice to forgive. And he was going through this season of forgiveness. And forgiveness, as I think all of us know, we can say, I forgive you, but then tomorrow I have to forgive again. Season of forgiveness. What am I going to do with that? Joseph went through a season of redemption with his brothers. If we skip over to continuing in the story, in chapter 48, Jacob, verse 15, his dad blessed his son. And so after this redemptive story is kind of wrapping up, coming to a close, there's this season of blessing that Joseph is experiencing. And Joseph could look back on his life and say, God is good. Or Joseph could have looked back on his life and said, my life was awful. God, what are you doing? God, you don't know what you're doing. My life was awful. But that's not what he chose to do. He chose to put his trust in God, even when it didn't make sense, because he knew who God was. And when we move to chapter 50, the end of the story, when Jacob dies and all the family takes him back to the land of Canaan to bury him, a great number of people went, and they buried their dad, and there was 70 days of mourning, a season of mourning. Where do you find yourself today? In a church our size, in a group of two people, we find ourselves all at different places. I can't tell you what season you're in, but you can talk to God about that season. I found myself the last month walking a season of grief and a season of joy. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. Two grandsons born in 3 weeks, and a best friend, like many of you know, have known Brian, knew Brian as well, a season of grief and loss. And it's not just us. There's many others in our community, in our church, that are walking through different seasons that feel heavy right now. And just because your season is little, and the next, you look across the aisle and you say, well, I have so much to be thankful for because his season, hey, that's a big one there. Don't minimize your season. God cares about the season that you're in. Whether small or whether big, who are you running to in that season? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up to lead the last song or the closing song here. And I would like for us to turn to Romans 8, 31 through 39. When we think about our seasons that we find ourselves in, and the foundation, God Himself. Before we read Romans 8, I'm going to just reread the three verses I started off with in chapter 50 of Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." God means your season for good. He's letting you walk that. And He is not deserting you. He is there for you. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Not only has God not left us, he's making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How? Through him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Oh God, you see our seasons, you see our hearts, you see our needs. You see our joys, you see our sorrows, you see our fears, you see the lies that we believe. We need you this morning, Jesus. And because of you, nothing can separate us. And God, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you, I pray, God, that you would speak to that person's heart in a call of repentance. Lord, I pray for those of us that believe here this morning that you would examine our hearts and show us what we need to repent of as well, Lord. God, we commit our lives to you. We commit our seasons that are continually changing. We commit them to you. And I pray as we go from here this week and today and step into this next week, whatever season of change that is on the horizon or that we find ourselves in, Lord, we declare that you are good and we declare that you are God and we declare that nothing can separate us from you because of your goodness, your salvation, your promises to us. And we hang on to that as we go from here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Guide us, we pray, God. Amen. Sorry. When we dismiss today, we're going to have a fellowship meal. And the word fellowship, it's not just about the food, by the way. I encourage you to ask the person that you're talking to, fellowshipping with, at some point, what season do you find yourself in today? How can I pray for you? And then do it this week. We're here for each other. Thank you.
I invite you to stand as we sing this last song together. You're thinking about what Kurt just shared, about going through different seasons in life, and he mentioned this, you know, we're church this size, we're all going to be going through different seasons. Think of the seasons that he mentioned, seasons of loss. Some of us are going through seasons of blessing. Things are going well. But others are going through difficult seasons. Maybe like Joseph, a season of being forgotten. Think about how that would have felt. But even, you know, it's easy. We go through the good seasons, the seasons of blessing. It's easy to say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. But what about the seasons that are difficult, the seasons of loss? In the middle of those seasons, can we still recognize, can we still sense God's love for us? And I think of the verse where it says, we love him because he first loved us. So regardless of the circumstances, we can still sing, my Jesus, I love thee. So I invite you to sing that with us this morning before we dismiss. Dismissed.